I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Radio Times. Jews make up just 2% of the national population, but they have a high rate of voter turnout, tend to live in swing or battleground states, are politically active, and have been big campaign contributors. And the party that has been the recipient of most of that support has been the Democratic Party. Now, some Republicans say that the support for President Obama and his party has been waning. They point to the recent defeat of the Democratic candidate in New York's heavily Jewish 9th Congressional District as evidence. Democrats have countered that Jews are still largely supportive of the president and his party. Well, today on Radio Times, we want to deconstruct the Jewish vote, knowing, of course, that it is not a monolith. And we've asked Stephen Windmuller to be our guest. He's Emeritus Professor of Jewish Communal Service, former Dean of Hebrew Union College's Los Angeles campus. He's been writing about Jewish political behavior and Jewish voting patterns for a number of publications, including the LA Times, the Jerusalem Letter, and others. And Stephen Windmuller, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I can join you.
We're very happy to have you. And of course, knowing we're not talking about a monolith, but nonetheless, is there such a thing as a Jewish, the Jewish vote?
Well, I think that certainly the media has given a great deal of credence to that theme. But in reality, you actually have multiple pockets or sectors of Jewish voting. So that the reality is that Jews, as with other Americans, have an array of interests and express those interests across the board politically. And as a result, I think there's sometimes a disconnect between the actual nature of how Jews are voting and how at times people portray the Jewish vote.
Nonetheless, there has been majority support for the Democratic Party. Why is that?
Well, it's a long and complex story. Actually, in the 19th century, from approximately 1864 throughout the rest of that century, Jews were very involved with the Republican Party. And in the course of much of the 20th century, certainly Jews have identified with the Democratic Party. The basis of that could be any number of theories that have been put forth. The history of Jewish oppression, driving Jews to consider themselves to look in support of the underdog, to be involved with liberal and social causes. Another suggestion is that the biblical imperative implies a notion of being responsible for one's neighbor and for the welfare of the society. Other theories include the notion that Jews seek to assimilate, thereby take on the characteristics of others in their cohort or neighborhoods, and as a result have adopted the characteristics of, let us say, the Democratic majority of many urban areas. But there are an array of theories about the nature of voting. Certainly, it is one of those behaviors that does not rapidly change. In other words, rooted in generations of being a Democrat or being part of a Democratic Party family, doesn't easily transition itself for families to see their kids or grandkids necessarily change. Although of recent times, I think we are identifying different patterns to how and why Jews are voting the way they are doing.
And I do want to get to that, but what is also interesting is just the engagement of Jewish voters. Turnout something like 80%, and financial supporters of candidates, issues, and parties related to politics.
Absolutely. And by the way, I think there's also frequently a disconnect between the way Jews vote in national elections, that is for the presidency and for members of the Congress, and the ways possibly they're voting in local elections. And there's a tendency to sort of make a generalization about Jewish voting behavior as uniform, where in fact I think there are different patterns to votes based on specific elections.
You talk about the kind of loyalty that Jewish voters have had for the Democratic Party, but also seem to indicate that there are some perhaps splits within families. I don't know if that's a generational split or even immigrants coming to this country with a different set of political beliefs.
Absolutely. You're correct. I think that we see the more recent waves of emigres, Jews from the former Soviet Union, from Israel, from Persia, possibly demonstrating a different outlook on political priorities than other American Jewish voters, and younger Jews tending to be possibly more independent in the way in which they look at the political parties and at the questions of traditional loyalties to those parties.
And how important is the issue of Israel when it comes to Jewish voters? And again, we're speaking obviously very broadly here, but nonetheless, there's been a lot of polling on this.
Yes. Well, clearly Israel is a priority issue for many Jews. But if one looks at a number of studies, it is but one of a number of issues that one finds the Jewish vote highly diverse in the context of people interested in an array of domestic concerns and foreign policy issues. So to suggest that Israel is the single driving factor in voting patterns for many Jews is probably not a correct assumption.
But would it be fair to say that it's a driving issue perhaps for conservative Jews?
When talking about more traditionally observant Jews, Jews interested in foreign affairs as a sort of a priority for them, absolutely. And I think that you can make this sort of distinction that there are these sort of camps or divisions within the community in terms of how Jews sort of align themselves with the Israel question and where that fits into their priorities when they enter the ballot, the voting booth.
And how generous have Jewish voters been to particular causes or even to parties? I was reading someplace that for the Democratic Party, almost half of the support has come from Jewish voters?
I think over time, there's been a very strong tendency to see political participation as multi-layered. That is, yes, financial support for candidates and parties, and engagement in being active on behalf of political campaigns by being a volunteer or worker. Politics, in a sense, is a deeply embedded notion of being part of the civic and culture of America, and as a result, I think Jews who are so embracing this society have, in many ways, demonstrated that through their political support of candidates and parties.
And I do want to, we have a second guest waiting in the wings, but to you, Professor Windmuller, is President Obama losing support among Jewish voters?
In recent polling, and I'm sure you'll hear more from your other guests as well about this, that there is some evidence of some shifts in Jewish voting patterns, or at least in the inclination to vote differently, possibly in the 2012 election. But often these early polls do not necessarily play out in the ultimate results, and we've seen that in 2004. We saw that actually in the election in 2008, and we need to be careful about making conclusions about polling data a year or a year and a half out before a general or national election.
And that's Stephen Windmuller. And joining us now is Neil Newhouse. He's a Republican pollster, partner, and co-founder of Public Opinion Strategies, a national political opinion research firm. In fact, he's a pollster for Mitt Romney's presidential campaign. He's worked with numerous Republican candidates, including Scott Brown, Rick Santorum, Joe Lieberman. And Neil Newhouse, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Marty, it's a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
You're very welcome. Are you seeing more Jews joining the Republican Party?
That might be a stretch.
That might be a stretch? Okay, no, help us understand what's going on.
All right. first of all, understand that you know, the first thing you have to say is that Jewish voters are traditionally the second strongest Democratic support group in the entire electorate. I mean, right. they're overwhelmingly supporting Democrats. They trail only African Americans in terms of their support for Democrats. They supported President Obama in 2008 by 78-21, and they regularly give Democratic candidates at least two-thirds or more of their support. So I mean that's the background here. But that being said, the president has experienced a significant loss of support across the electorate over the past 18 months. I mean, his approval rating overall has dropped to the low 40s. I mean, he's dropped a good, 15, 16 points. And what you're seeing in the data is his numbers have also dropped among Jews. In the latest Gallup data over the last six-week period of time, Obama's approval rating has dropped to 54% from a high of 68% just a few months ago. This doesn't mean these voters are turning into Republicans. It means that just like a majority of Americans right now, they're pretty dissatisfied with the job that President Obama is doing.
And do you think that's about the economy, the high rate of unemployment?
I think it's being driven by a couple of things. It's certainly the economy. Certainly, I mean, when you look at, there is a survey done by AJC, just recently, and what they found was pretty stark. I mean, they found President Obama's approval rating. They interviewed 800 Jewish Americans. They found his approval rating at 45% approve and 48% disapprove. And when they asked, do you approve or disapprove the Obama administration's handling of U.S.-Israel relations? 40% approve and 53% disapprove. I think these voters are Jewish Americans would like to stick with President Obama because of what he represents, hope for the future, et cetera. But I think because of the economy and because of the perception that there is not handling U.S.-Israeli relations, I think that's pushing down his support. So I think it's a combination of both the economic concerns and also concerns regarding Israel.
About a minute away from our first break here, Neil Newhouse, but do you think, and you're a pollster for Mitt Romney, but do you think Republicans are going to try to take advantage of those low poll numbers? Do you think they can make inroads among Jewish voters?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the bar is not all that high for Republicans to hit above 21% that John McCain got in 2008. In this same AJC survey, they tested Obama versus Romney, and the scores are 50% for Obama and 32% for Romney. So that's a third increase of the support that McCain got in 2008. Doesn't mean these voters are necessarily going to be in our camp, but what it means is that both sides, Republicans and Democrats, are going to be fighting over Jewish voters, just like they are the rest of the electorate. This is not an election going into 2012. That Democrats and President Obama can assume that Jewish voters are in their back pocket because they clearly aren't.
Well,
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Only because the clock tells me we have to take a very short break and then we'll get back to our conversation. That's Neil Newhouse. He's a Republican pollster. Also with us is Stephen Windmuller. He's an emeritus professor of Jewish communal service, former dean of Hebrew Union College's Los Angeles campus. He's been writing about Jewish political behavior and voting patterns, our topic for today's Radio Times. And if you're a Jewish voter, we want to hear from you. 1-888-477-9499. Who do you like? What are the issues you care about? We'll be right back.
1812 Productions, Philadelphia's all-comedy theater company, supports WHYY. 1812 Productions presents Mistakes Were Made, the newest comedy from Craig Wright, writer for Six Feet Under and United States of Terra. Starring Barrymore Award winner Scott Greer, this fast-paced comedy shows us an afternoon in the life of a Broadway producer who turns the theater world on its ear when he decides to make art instead of money. Mistakes Were Made, now on stage through October 30th. Tickets at 1812productions.org.
Hello, I'm Christine Dempsey.
And I'm Ed Cunningham.
You may remember us from such pledge drives as winter 2009.
Or summer 2008. We really enjoy talking to you.
But we understand that you may not enjoy hearing from us.
That's why for fall 2011, we'd like to suggest you try YStream.
YStream, it's the programming you tune in for without the membership breaks.
You have until October 12th to pledge and take advantage of YStream.
For details, go to whyy.org/YStream.
Supporting WHYY, Abington Friends School, a Quaker college preparatory school from preschool through grade 12. Abington Friends is diverse and multicultural. Their lower school director is co-chair for the People of Color Conference hosted by the National Association of Independent Schools. Five of their faculty will be presenting on topics related to equity and justice. At AFS, the curriculum is collaborative, relevant, and ambitious. AFS, educating for a changing world. Open house October 15th. More at abingtonfriends.net.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We are talking about Jewish voters today on Radio Times. And again, our guests are Stephen Windmuller and Neil Newhouse. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We are curious if you are a Jewish voter, who you have been voting for, who interests you as you look ahead to the upcoming presidential campaign, the issues you care about. Is it Israel? Are there other issues as well? Do give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Neil, let me go back to you and help us understand why a majority of Jewish Americans are angry at President Obama. He has, when he was at the United Nations, he stood in support of Israel, saying that the U.S. support for Israel was unshakable, criticized the Palestinians were going to the UN seeking statehood, supported the flotilla controversy. What is the complaint with the president?
Well, first of all, I mean, it actually goes back to the last election. I mean, I think Jewish Americans have been somewhat skeptical of President Obama's commitment to Israel and pushing of the Netanyahu administration on the issue of settlements and other issues. I think that there's a sense here that Jewish Americans have that President Obama has not been as supportive as, you know, as they'd liked for him to have been regarding Israel. That it's after the fact, and it's more lip service than it is, real strength. And you get a sense of that. But that's only a portion of how Jewish Americans are looking at this. Jewish Americans are also impacted by the economy, just like everybody else is. And I mean, you know, you look at the really difficult economic times, and I think there's just frustration that President Obama hasn't done better. I mean, the expectations were so high when he was elected to office. There's no way he could have actually met those expectations. And as he's fallen short, people have moved away from him and are polling them.
Stephen Windmuller, let me go back to you. How different, though, do you think the Obama administration's policy on Israel is? How different is that from previous administrations?
Well, I frankly think it's more about perception than policy. On the ground, there are many things that remain intact that are part of a long-standing connection between Washington and Jerusalem. I think what may have happened, a combination of elements. The president's speech in Cairo several years ago created a kind of fallout in the Jewish community of a perception of where the president was in terms of certain priorities, and how he positioned Israel in that speech seemed to draw some concerns within certainly various quarters of the Jewish community. The second element, as you just heard, having to do with the settlements question, did arouse a good deal of concern on the pressure that was perceived to being placed on the government in Jerusalem in terms of making concessions or doing steps out of a sequence from any peace process. So in that context, I think you see some of these elements of uncertainty that have emerged about the depths of commitment and connection that the president may have to the state of Israel.
Go ahead.
It might just be important to remind ourselves that that a lot of the core elements of the relationship are very much intact, and one should not assume that on the military, foreign aid, and other points of connection, those ties remain deeply embedded.
Neil Newhouse, let me go back to you and even go to the values forum that was held over the weekend, and some of the participants at this forum questioned Mitt Romney's Christianity. Christianity seemed to be such an important issue for this group of Republican voters. Does that concern you?
No, not particularly. I mean, Mitt's religion is, I mean, first of all, that the issue of religion probably should play very little role in in politics today. And I mean, I'm a Jewish American that happens to be a Republican, and I you know, and I'm supporting Mitt Romney, who's a Mormon. It gives you an idea of
right. This is the world we live in. I understand
exactly right. So I mean, no, it doesn't bother me. And I mean, Republicans are you know, they have a very strong evangelical base. I mean, there's you know, the Republican Party is you know has historically. You know, had this strong base. So it doesn't bother me at all. And I think that people are going to assess Mitt Romney based on not his religion, but you know, his economic plan and his you know, his vision for the future of the country.
Stephen, I'm just curious about how you see the evangelical base that certainly is a part of the Republican Party, and do you think that poses problems for Jewish voters?
I think that's certainly been over time a factor that has possibly held Jews away from supporting Republican candidates in larger numbers. This whole evangelical issue, for some Jews, the church-state question remains a very important sort of a barometer of maintaining traditional position of really keeping religion outside of the political game and outside of political choices. And I think that is a factor that one should not easily dismiss. For many Jewish voters, that is a litmus test in the sense of where their comfort levels lie.
Neil, do you want to add something to that?
Well, I think it's going to come down to, I mean, truthfully, they're not going to be voting Republican, Democrat. They're going to be voting between Barack Obama and hopefully Mitt Romney. And given those two choices, I think the decision is going to be made based on which one they perceive to be stronger on the future of the country, and who can do, you know, who stands with them on the economy and on Israel. And I feel pretty confident that we're going to do a heck of a lot better than our candidate did 4 years ago among Jewish Americans.
And are you pretty confident that Mitt Romney's going to be the Republican? I know you're working for him, but are you confident he's going to be the nominee?
Confident? I'm pretty confident, knock on wood.
Let me squeeze one caller in before we have to say goodbye to you, and then we've got a third guest waiting in the wings. We have, it looks like, Jonathan from Mount Airy. And Jonathan, go ahead, you're on Radio Times. Hi there.
Marty. Yes. Hi. Yeah. Just want to say that in terms of being Jewish voters from Mount Airy, my wife and I, you know, we're master's level professionals and all that jazz, and we have unwavering support for Barack Obama and the Obama White House. We're going to vote for him again. We have absolutely no questions about it. The one issue where we find he is soft, and as soft as every other American president over the last four decades, is about Israel. We would like to see him get more aggressive about peace and reconciliation with the Palestinians and the establishment through the UN of a Palestinian state as soon as possible. And that's where we find it disappointing, because we look at the Israeli government of Netanyahu and we say he's the equivalent of Republican Tea Party people. And it feels odd for us when we see some American Jewish voters, you know, sidling up to this really Tea Party guy who, he's from Cheltenham. You know, he should have stayed there as far as we're concerned. So again, you know,
okay, fair enough.
Barack Obama, and wish he'd be harder on Israel.
Oh, fair enough. Neil, I'm just going to give you a chance for a quick response. We have to say goodbye, and then we'll get our third guest to join us.
I think Prime Minister Netanyahu would be shocked to hear him compared to a Republican Tea Party person. You know, I mean, Republicans are going to have, I mean, I don't know where to even start on that one, but I'm confident that given Obama's numbers now, given the state of the economy, given what's going on with respect in the Middle East and relations between Israel and the U.S., Republicans are going to make some inroads among Jewish voters and break the stranglehold that Obama has in those voters. But we have a long ways to go between now and election time, and there's a lot of water to go, over the dam between now and then. So we have a long ways to go.
Well, Neil Newhouse, thanks for joining us today on Radio Times. Thanks for joining us. He is a Republican pollster, partner and co-founder of Public Opinion Strategies. I should add that Benjamin Netanyahu did graduate from Cheltenham High School, which is in the Philadelphia suburbs. Let me get Jim Gerstein in on our conversation. He's a Democratic pollster and founding partner of GBA Strategies. He conducts focus groups and opinion surveys across the U.S. and four continents, and among his clients is J Street. Jim Gerstein, I know you've been listening in, and thanks for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. It's great to be with you.
Nice to have you with us. And Stephen Windmuller staying with us for the rest of the hour. And we are talking about Jewish voters, what they care about, the parties that they're interested, the candidates, the issues. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Jim, is President Obama experiencing some disaffection from Jewish voters?
No more so than what's going on in the national electorate. And as Neil aptly indicated, that the president has dropped across the board, and the drop that he's seen in terms of assessments of the way he's conducting his job among Jewish voters has been no different than the decline that he's seen among the electorate as a whole. And This is very clear in the Gallup data that Neil referenced, but what Gallup also said in their conclusion of their data was that it points to the fact that this has nothing to do with Israel or a single issue, but is more about the overall status of the president's views of the economy and the way the president's handling his job overall.
But do you think the Obama administration is worried, knowing, of course, that while Jews make up a very small percentage of the population, they tend to vote in great numbers, and they have been very generous to the Democratic Party?
Well, I think it's really important to distinguish between the conventional wisdom about Jewish voters and what Jewish voters actually think. And a key piece of that of the gap between those two things is the role that Israel gets in the public discussion. Israel is simply not a high priority voting issue for American Jews. Only 8% cited as one of their top two issues when casting their vote. In other words, that's 92% of American Jews do not cite Israel as one of their top two issues. Certainly, you need to pass a threshold of being supportive of Israel. And once you pass that threshold, it's actually a pretty low threshold to pass, people move on to the other issues that they care about. And in this regard, I mean, Jews are a very progressive-based Democratic constituency, and once you pass that threshold, they quickly move on to those other issues, which is why you see the historical voting numbers that we've seen.
Stephen Windmuller, let me get you back in on the conversation. Do you want to add to anything that Jim Gerstein just said?
No, I think Jim's point is particularly relevant, that, as I suggested earlier, Jews have an array of interests and likewise an array of concerns, of one of which is the church-state matter that I cited before. So I think that it's important to put in context the conversations about the Jewish vote and the Israel issue is but one of multiple concerns that I would suggest the Jewish community needs to address and has historically addressed.
I do want to get to those other issues, but this is something I asked Neil Newhouse, and I'll put this to you, Jim Gerstein, in trying to understand the critics of the Obama administration coming from Jewish voters in this country. They criticize him for not being supportive enough of Israel. What don't they understand about this president?
Well, I think it's a small and vocal minority that's been very effective in raising the issue in a way that's disconnected from where most American Jews are. When it comes to the issue of Israel, to the extent that Jewish voters think about it, they're actually very progressive and much less hawkish than the way that the quote Jewish vote gets portrayed or expressed by some of the higher profile organizations. When you look at the president's record on Israel, he's got a lot of things to point to. You can look at the just as recently as saving the lives of those six Israelis that were trapped in the Israeli embassy in Cairo. You have the Israeli defense minister who also served as prime minister and chief of staff of the Israeli defense forces, saying that he has never seen an administration that has worked in such close coordination on matters of defense as the Obama administration has with Israel. And then, of course, you know, there's much bigger issues like the operation to get Osama bin Laden. That speaks to a much grander strategy on national defense that I think, you know, in that cluster of national defense issues, the administration has a lot of things that are positives with all voters and like all voters with Jewish voters as well.
Let me get some callers in the conversation at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We are talking about Jewish voters today on Radio Times. Of course, knowing that Jewish voters are not a monolith, nonetheless, they have been largely supportive of Democratic causes and Democratic candidates, although there are some questions about just how strong that support is today. Of course, the country and the president facing a myriad of problems. 1-888-477-9499. Let me get Paul from Center City, Philadelphia to join our conversation. Paul, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Marty. Thanks very much.
You're
welcome. Two real quick points. First of all, I just don't understand why in the world Jewish people in general who historically enjoy people who are literate, who read, who write, who are compassionate, don't fully appreciate Obama as just as a human being. To use a kind of a funny phrase, he's like the bar mitzvah boy that really took it all very seriously. Secondly, concerning Israel, during the Bush administration, there was a huge Hezbollah attack that killed hundreds of Israelis. During Obama's administration, Israel has been pretty safe. And I don't know exactly what the military ramifications and causes are. It's just a reality, though, that I hope people will understand. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, Paul, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Stephen Windmiller, do you want to respond to that?
Well, I mean, I think the data is there that confirms Paul's point. When you had 78% of the Jewish vote in 2008 in support of the president, and it's reflective, as we've seen in much of the 20th century, of this very strong connection to liberal democratic ideals and to certainly the candidates that are reflective of those ideals. But I do think that what we are also seeing is some shifts in Jewish patterns of voting, and we need to try to identify what those are likely to be. And it's a bit difficult at this point because you have certainly so many strains of Jewish voting groups that it's no longer seen as sort of a monolithic camp, but an array of different pockets.
Well, I want to pick up on that. In fact, talk about some of those shifts after this very short break. And that's Stephen Windmiller joining us along with Jim Gerstein. We are talking about Jewish voters and looking ahead to the 2012 presidential campaign. Of course, it's essentially underway. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Solbury School, a college preparatory day and boarding school for 7th through 12th grade. Located in New Hope, Pennsylvania, Solbury School offers a 1-to-6 teacher-to-student ratio and is committed to intellectual challenge and academic achievement, creative and independent thinking, and respect for individuality and diversity. Their open house is Sunday, October 16th from 1 to 4 p.m. Details at 215-862-5261 or solbury.org.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. We'll follow up on our recent conversation with high-tech execs who say they can't find qualified employees. Many of our listeners, older laid-off workers, say hogwash. Also, why are the leaves late in turning here in New England? One guess? Yes, climate change. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Woodmere Art Museum in Chestnut Hill supports WHYY. Currently on view are two major exhibitions exploring modernist and contemporary art that tell the story of Philadelphia's art and artists. Together, Flirting with Abstraction and Mary G. L. Hood and Philadelphia Modernism showcase the evolution of modern painting in Philadelphia from the early 20th century to the present day. For information on exhibitions and special programming such as Woodmere's Music Series, woodmereartmuseum.org or 215-247-0476.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen talking with Hebrew Union College's Stephen Windmuller. He's been writing about Jewish political behavior and Jewish voting patterns for a number of publications, including the LA Times, the Jerusalem Letter. Also with us is Jim Gerstein. He's a Democratic pollster, founding partner of GBA Strategies, conducts focus groups, and among his clients is J Street. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Jim, I'm looking at some polling you did, although it's almost a year ago, asking in politics as of today, do you consider yourself a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent? 16% said Republican, 45% said Democrat, and 38% said independent. I'm interested in that independent voter and what makes them independent.
I actually think that's a different poll because our data doesn't show such a high number of independents among American Jews. But in any case, there is a small number of Jews who characterize themselves as independent voters, and when you push them to see which way they lean, it's a pretty much an even split, maybe with a little bit more leaning towards the Democratic Party. When you look at this overall, the bigger dynamic that's at play here, and particularly where it would affect someone who's not, a Jewish voter who's not strongly identified with either party, is when you see two alternatives. And while we've been talking a lot about President Obama's job approval and some of the decline that we've seen nationally and with American Jews, that's very different than how people will end up voting. Because when there's a choice, there's a huge aversion among Jewish voters in the United States to the Republican Party, to the leading conservative figures, and the Tea Party in particular. In our most recent poll, we showed favorability numbers for Mitt Romney were only 16%, for the Tea Party 12%. For Glenn Beck, who's making Israel his big cause, only 10% favorable. That kind of puts into perspective, I think, this whole discussion of ultimately when there is a vote, are they going to be with President Obama or one of the alternatives, and kind of look at the Republican primary right now. And those who are more appealing to a broader electorate, someone like Mitt Romney, will do better with Jewish voters than, say, Rick Perry or Michelle Bachmann, or I guess the latest rising star is Herman Cain. I mean, it's hard to see how that would be a serious candidacy nationally, but also with American Jews.
Do you see a split between, I guess, younger and older generations of Jewish voters?
It's very interesting. The conventional wisdom is younger voters are more supportive of President Obama, but nationally. But when it comes to Jewish voters, there's actually an important dynamic, and that's the Orthodox population is the more conservative element of the Jewish electorate, and they make up a disproportionate number of younger voters. So that balances out a little bit, and ultimately you'll still see very strong performance for the president among young Jewish voters, but it's mitigated a little bit by the conservative voting patterns of Orthodox Jews, which are highly, which are disproportionately young.
Let me get a caller in before we have to say goodbye to you, Jim. And this is Renee from Elkins Park. Renee, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I am calling because I was a former Obama worker. I fought for him. I registered people for him. And I am very disillusioned. I think maybe if he waited 8 years, he'd have the experience to fight the obstructionists. He doesn't inspire. He lectures. And I could never vote for people who are going to stop Roe v. Wade, who are going to cut Medicaid, who are against all immigrants. So I'm in a bind. And I hope there's another candidate. I wish there'd be another Democratic candidate running, so I don't know how I'm going to vote.
Okay, Renee, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Jim, as someone who works for Democrats, and do you think there's something the president can do to win over Renee from Elkins Park?
I think she, you know, she raises very interesting and important point. And there is disillusionment with the president from all parts of the electorate. But at the end of the day, she's pointing to the fact that she's looking, mm-hmm. she's not turning to the Republicans. And I think that is a key dynamic and element that's going on that will present itself in Election Day in 2012. People may be a little disappointed, they may be a little disillusioned, but do they want to really go back to the policies and the team that got us into the economic situation, or they want to give the president more time to get us out of it? That'll be the question they face.
Well, Jim Gerstein, thanks so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. He's a Democratic pollster, founding partner of GBA Strategies, and the Hebrew Union College's Stephen Windmuller staying with us for the rest of the hour, 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stephen, I'm wondering whether, I don't know, intermarriage or even just Jewish families, you know, moving out of cities, out of suburbs, and kind of dispersing across the country, does that change the influence of Jewish voters?
There is some tentative data on that, and it would be difficult to give you a definitive answer. I think that the further removed from sort of the culture of urban life and Jewish communal connections and commitments, voters in some of these situations of marrying out or moving outside of these core communities does erode some of the support that we've seen among traditionally Jewish Democrats.
And I'm thinking even of the Philadelphia suburbs, which has been, of course, they've played, and I don't mean just Jewish voters, but has played such a powerful role in this state in terms of delivering votes largely for Democratic candidates.
Yes.
Okay, let me get that. Looks like Mort from Levittown to join our conversation. And Mort, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say that I happen to be an American. I'm originally from Israel. I don't like this Democratic administration, how he snuffed Bibi Netanyahu the first time when he just took office. That's one. Two, he's really a not friendly president to the cause of the state of Israel. The only ally that the United States got in fighting terrorism, and we can take a few lessons how to fight it, okay? And this guy, in my book, now, to say the least, if I compare him to the Bush administration, I'm talking Bush, George W. Bush, no friendlier administration to the state of Israel than the administration of George W. Bush.
Well, Mort, I appreciate the call.
As a rule, the majority of the friendly administrations since the Harry Truman administration to the state of Israel were Republican administrations.
Okay, well, let me take your call. And Stephen Windmuller, as you and actually both of our guests were really saying, while Israel is an important issue for some Jewish voters, and Mort is an Israeli-American, it's not the defining issue for many Jewish voters, but nonetheless, we hear this passion.
Right, and what you heard in that call, of course, is what I think we spoke about earlier in our conversation, the notion that you have pockets of Jewish voters who are themselves from the former Soviet Union, Israel, and Iran, for example, who have very strong feelings with regard to issues of national security for Israel, military support for Israel, and that's expressed in terms of this connection to Republican administrations. Mm-hmm.
I saw a quote from Rahm Emanuel, actually a very interesting piece in New York Magazine by John Heilman, talking about the Obama administration's Israeli policy. And he's quoted as saying, "We were enunciating 20-plus years of U.S. policy. The difference was we weren't just lip-syncing it." The idea that this administration is saying out loud what other administrations were saying in private. And this, of course, is about Israel, about settlements, things like that. Do you think there's some truth to that?
It's a probable idea, meaning that it's likely that this president was prepared to be much more direct about some of the challenges that both the United States and Israel face in the region. And the effect of that, of course, is to upset or at least create certain concerns within certain segments, certainly of the Jewish voting community.
Let me see what Dan from Newark has to say. And Dan, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Thank you. I just want to say I feel like the Jewish community nowadays it's actually splitting in two directions among Jews that would be likely to vote Democrat, because you have some Jews who are. May have some of their hesitancies about Obama for whatever reasons, but also just generally are a little bit hesitant about the progressive movement itself, because they associate that with a leaning at times towards the demonization of Israel, you know, as being part of conservative causes, you know, where, you know, even when you see the Occupy protesters, you'll see some signs that are like, Occupy Philly, not Palestine, and stuff like that. But then on the other end, you also have a lot of Jews who are disappointed with Obama because he's not progressive enough, and they're like, well, you know, I wanted if I'm going to be taking the chance on the security of Israel to whatever degree that's an issue for me, then I really want to see some kind of payoff in social justice for everyone else, but I'm not seeing that enough. So then it's basically like I'm putting one thing that's a concern to me at risk, potentially, at least in my mind, for not necessarily a huge benefit to the larger whole. And well, I feel that way myself to some extent. I'm a lifelong Democrat, I'm a Jew, and at the same time I feel a little bit divided in both directions because of those prevailing issues.
Well, Dan, you said it very well, and I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And Stephen Wimmuller, we can hear him, in a sense, debating himself over some of these particular issues.
Absolutely, and I think it's almost a kind of mirror of what is going on inside the Jewish community. You have a progressive wing, you have a kind of centrist group of traditional Democrats, and you have this emerging right-of-center political voice. And as a result, the internal debate, even inside the Jewish community, is reflective of this sort of divided, divisive process. And on the political end, we certainly see it as being expressed or identified in this last call.
I'm wondering, and some have gone so far to say that President Obama is, you know, getting close to Jimmy Carter territory, and he had less than 50% of the Jewish vote when he ran for re-election in 1980. Do you think the Obama administration should be worried about that?
Well, no doubt it is concerned about holding its core constituencies. The question of whether it would dip below 50%, I'm not certain is necessarily a fear they need to have. But they obviously know that in a very tight election, a slight shift, when I reference slight, I would think in the order of a 20% movement of Jewish voters in key battleground states, and of which Pennsylvania may
yes.
well be one of those, the question will be... will that make a difference in the outcome of the 2012 elections? And that becomes really the core element here, is how deep are these divides? How will that be demonstrated in the November elections of next year?
But we also know the way we do politics in this country is that it's largely about money and how much money you can raise. And Stephen Wimmuller, as we know, Jewish voters tend to be pretty generous to campaigns, and the Democrats have been largely the recipients of that largesse. Is there some concern that the money just won't be there, in this upcoming election?
There is what is called early money and late money, mm-hmm. and there is some concerns at this moment about some of the early money. Certainly a year out, there have been some challenges raised for the Democrats and for the president's fundraising efforts with regard to holding or growing that base of support that he had 4 years ago. And the question will be, in the end, that is within the months just leading up to the November 2012 election, will that money return to the Democratic coffers, or will it remain on the sidelines?
And certainly always the possibility that it will shift loyalties and you will see more of those dollars in support of the Republican candidate, again, depending on that choice. And if it tends to be someone in a more moderate place within the Republican spectrum, you may well see that movement of both financial support and potentially voter support.
And, of course, we're talking about a campaign. We don't even know who the president will be up against. So it's sort of a, you know, a strange comparison here. But do you see a fight for Jewish voters and Jewish support and, frankly, Jewish money as the campaigns unfold?
Yes. If 2008 was a kind of preliminary battleground for some of the tensions inside the Jewish community over the status of the Jewish vote, then 2012 will be the full-blown storyline of this being a major issue within the community and the efforts by both sides to articulate their case for why the Jewish vote ought to be directed to their candidate.
Well, lots for you to write about, and thank you for joining us today in Radio Times.
That was my pleasure.
And that's Stephen Windmuller, Emeritus Professor of Jewish Communal Service and former Dean of Hebrew Union College's Los Angeles campus, and he has been writing about Jewish political behavior and Jewish voting patterns for a number of publications, including the L.A. Times. We also spoke with Neil Newhouse, who's a Republican pollster, and Jim Gerstein, who's a Democratic pollster. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times and check us out. You can check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Send us an email and, of course, the archives as well. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times.